It's good to see all who have been able to come to the meeting this evening, and we perhaps could commence with hymn number 136, 136. By faith the Lamb of God I see, who suffered on the cross for me. He paid the mighty debt I owe. He died because he loved me so. He loved me so. He died because he loved me so. Perhaps if it's convenient, we could stand to sing this hymn 136. Speak to God in prayer and ask for his blessing upon our meeting this evening. Our God and Heavenly Father, we come unto thee in prayer through the name of thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we give thee thanks that before our gospel meeting that we are able to come unto thee in prayer and to be able to leave before thee the need of this gospel meeting. We give thee thanks for the message of the gospel, how that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we give thee thanks that we have been able to sing this hymn and to sing that He loved me so. And we give Thee thanks for such love that Thou didst show unto a world of sinners, that Thou would send Thy only begotten Son to die upon that cross of Calvary, that we might have our sins forgiven. And we pray for those who in the meeting tonight are still unsaved, that they would understand that they are before Thee, guilty sinners and in need of salvation, but to rest upon the finished work of Thy Son on Calvary's cross. We pray for Thy help in the meeting. Pray that as Thy word is opened and the gospel is preached, that Thou would speak to those unsaved tonight and that they would see their need of salvation. We leave before Thee this great need and leave before Thee myself and Dad as we would speak and acknowledge our need and dependency on Thee. And we leave ourselves before Thee and ask on Thy Son's worthy and precious and peerless and most fragrant name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now I want to make each one welcome this evening. We're glad to see you, glad to see the boy and girls with us tonight, and also one or two visitors. We make you very welcome in the Lord's name and trust that you'll be blessed for being here this evening. We want to also give a warm welcome to our speakers. They're both the same name, Bryce Young and Bryce Young. We're both glad to have you both here with us this evening. Thank you for coming. They're from Newton Ards, and we know that they've been here before. We want to make all welcome too that are listening online, and thank you for taking time to join with us here in Newton Rita Gospel Hall this evening. Now, one or two announcements for the week. Tomorrow evening is Bible Explorers at 7 p.m. And then on Tuesday in the Purdiesburn Gospel Hall, Gospel Meeting at 7:30 p.m. And the speaker there will be Paul Murdoch. And then Thursday evening in this hall is the prayer meeting and the Bible reading at 7:45. And we'll be looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Next Lord's Day, the breaking bread at 11, Sunday school and Bible class at 3, and the prayer meeting at 6:30, the gospel meeting at 7, and we expect our brother Keith Henderson from the Eden Derry Assembly to be here for the preaching of the gospel. Now, we make all these announcements in the will of the Lord, and also we give you a warm invitation to come to any or all of these as you are able. We leave now the meeting in the hand of our two brethren.
We'll turn to the Bible, the Word of God. First of all, the Genesis and chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. The context of these verses are the creation of the Garden of Eden and God placing and creating Adam and Eve and the command that is given that they may eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Chapter 3 and verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and give also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Over, please, to the Gospel of John, please. John's Gospel and chapter 1. John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Over to chapter 19. Chapter 19 and verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Verse 35. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. And then over to chapter 20. Chapter 20 and verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And that will be our reading for this evening. We trust that God will bless the reading of his precious word. Just for the short time to open the meeting here for Dad, I want to look at a few times in Scripture in which it is recorded that people saw something, or that people could say that one seeth, or that they saw. The first, of course, that we read in the Garden of Eden, when Eve saw the fruit. And it was at that point in that story of Earth's history that God had created the Garden of Eden and had commanded Adam and Eve that they were free to eat of every tree of that garden, but that the command was that of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, that they were not to eat of it. And yet the serpent came and spoke to Eve, and Eve saw the fruit. And she took of that fruit and ate off it. And Adam too took of that fruit and ate off it as well. And in that moment in that garden, man rebelled against God. And the command that was given was broken. And as a result of that disobedience of man, of Adam, the Bible tells us that as a result of that, that sin came into this world. And sin has come in, and each one of us are affected by sin. Each one of us, the Bible tells us, are sinners and have a sinful nature. And if we are honest with ourselves, we would acknowledge the fact that we are sinners. Because we sin, we do things that might be considered small sins. Something that perhaps is a little bit insignificant. To tell a lie to someone. To disobey what somebody else has told us not to do. And just in a small matter as we might think it, to disobey. But in the sight of God, that is sin. And people sometimes, they don't like to be told, and they don't like to consider themselves as sinners, because they feel that sinners are people who end up on headlines of newspapers for the things that they have done. And yes, those things that people and men and the world might do, yes, they are sin as well. But each one of us here tonight, The speakers included are sinners in the sight of God. And the Bible makes it clear that because of our sin, that there is a distance that has come between God and man. And if we don't have our sins forgiven in life, that we will be separated from God for all eternity. And if we go out into eternity with our sins unforgiven, and without Christ as our Savior, the Bible makes it clear that those who go out into eternity unsaved, without Christ as their Savior and without their sins forgiven, will spend eternity in hell and the lake of fire. And yet, while God hates sin, and God is righteous to judge sin, yet even in that chapter in Genesis 3, God gives a promise to mankind. And he says that he will put enmity between the serpent and the woman. And it says in chapter 3 and verse 15, "And between thy seed and her seed it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." A promise of deliverance. And that is what we read of in John's Gospel in chapter 1. When John there could see the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says there that John seeth Jesus, and he says to his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this scene of time to die on the cross of Calvary, so that you and I can have our sins forgiven. That Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's what we sung in that hymn as we opened the meeting. "He loved me so." And if you take away only one thing in the meeting this evening, take away this: that God loves you. And the demonstration of God's love is this: that he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you, so that you can have your sins forgiven. If that's the only thing that you hear in the meeting and hear what I have to say, is just simply that God loves you and that Christ died for you so that you can have your sins forgiven. And so John has seen the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has declared him to be the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And then we've read in that passage in John 19, and the scene there is the scene of the cross of Calvary. And the Lord Jesus Christ hanging upon that cross. And he hung there for those 6 hours. And those 3 hours in darkness. And at the end of those hours, he says, "It is finished." All the work that is needed to be done in regards to you having your sins forgiven has been finished by the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. It's often said that it's not to do, but done. And it's not to pay, but paid. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." There's nothing that anybody can do to try to supplement what Christ has done on Calvary. To do so and to think that you could do anything to merit salvation or to add something to what Christ has done is, put simply, to disregard completely what Christ has done and to disregard how God views his own Son, the one who he loves so much and the one who he sent to die on the cross of Calvary and to suffer in those hours on that cross of Calvary for your sins. Everything is finished. There's nothing more to be done There's nothing more that can be done. And we read that John could write that he saw and he bear record and he records what he saw and what he witnessed there. And we have it and we can read it, and he bear record that you might believe. That throughout the years from the Lord's death until now, nearly 2,000 years have passed, and yet the gospel is still preached, and the gospel remains the same, that the Lord Jesus Christ has finished the work. There's nothing more to be added to what Christ has done, and you can have your sins forgiven if you would trust Him as your Savior. We read in that last passage in John's Gospel in chapter 20 of the disciples who had seen the Lord, had seen the risen Lord. After the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea took the body of our Savior and laid it in a tomb. And he lay there for 3 days. And the Bible tells us that on the third day that God raised him from the dead. And he was seen of his disciples. And they record how that they saw the risen Lord. And it's often been said, and it's not something new to that I have to say, but the truth is still the same. That the Lord Jesus Christ, on that time when the tomb, when those women came to the tomb and saw the stone rolled away, that the stone was not rolled away to let our Lord out, but the stone was rolled away to let all see that the tomb was empty and that He had risen. God is entirely satisfied with the work of His beloved Son. And it is evidenced in the fact that on that third day that He raised Him from the dead. And at this present moment, the Lord Jesus Christ sits exalted at the right hand of God. And He is willing and able and ready to save you. And tonight you have a choice. You have a choice to accept your standing before God and to acknowledge that before Him that you are a sinner, and to accept the free gift of salvation that is offered to you tonight. To trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and know that your sins are forgiven. There's two places in eternity, and only two places in eternity. If you go out into eternity unsaved, with your sins unforgiven, and without Christ as your Savior, when you go into eternity, you will see something that cannot be described at all. Something that in the Gospel of Luke it could be said of the rich man, that he lift up his eyes being in torments. If you go out with your sins unforgiven, we can only tell you from God's word that it is hell and the lake of fire for all eternity. But we are glad that we have been able to tell you of the Lord Jesus Christ and a God that loves you, and a God that does not want to see you in hell, and has sent His Son to die on the cross so you can have your sins forgiven if you will trust Him. And if you trust Him, if you trust Christ as your Savior, and if tonight you were to go into eternity, in Revelation it speaks of those, and it says that they shall see His face. Those of us who are saved are looking forward to a time in which either we shall go at the call of the rapture or to pass into eternity, but we're looking forward to a time in which we shall see the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, the choice is yours. To either trust Christ, and at the end of life, to see His face. Or if you reject the Savior, or if you put it off until another time, and you put it off and put it off until eventually it's too late, to see the flames of hell and the lake of fire. We don't want that to happen to any soul here tonight. And so we tell you tonight, and we can only encourage you and plead with you tonight to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
I'd like to extend our welcome to everyone this evening. And we are so pleased to see all who have come. It's been said before, no doubt, that the only reason that these meetings are convened is that you might be saved. And I wonder this evening, in our meeting this evening, can each look back to a moment and the day of salvation? And if not, dear friend, what a joy it would be if this was a day of salvation for you. The things that we're speaking about this evening, Rice has spoken and mentioned about that dreadful place called hell. And he's spoken about heaven. These are real places. These are real things. These are serious matters. And we would just long that if you're not saved, that you would just settle down and realize that time is passing. And perhaps as we get a little older, we just realize more and more that life is so fragile, and life is passing, and eternity is drawing near, and is all well with your soul. I would just like to read a number of verses, and they're well-known verses. And it's great to see the boys and girls here this evening as well. And no doubt if you're familiar with coming to the meeting and perhaps coming to Sunday school, these are verses that you'll know. In John chapter 3, and we'll read a number of these verses together. This is a conversation between Nicodemus. Bryce mentioned about Nicodemus. It was Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea that took our Savior down from the cross. And this is the same man that we're going to read about. A conversation took place at night. There's some suggestions as to why it was at night that he came. But I like to think that it was because he didn't want to wait any longer. He needed this matter settled. Can I tell you as well, lest I forget, or lest I miss it, that Nicodemus got saved that night. And you could get saved this evening. There is salvation for you. Christ has died, paid a mighty ransoming price to provide so great a salvation. And so there is a conversation between Nicodemus and our Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a religious man. I want to start in verse number 7. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And this is what he says. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I would like to think, we'll not turn to it, but I'd like to think of that verse in Acts chapter 4. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Nicodemus needed to be saved. Nicodemus needed to be born again. And so do you, if you're not saved. There are those in the meeting, and we can look back to that moment, that day of salvation, when we get saved. There was nothing we could do. We felt our helplessness and our deep need, and we came and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. I want you to turn, please, to over the page or down to verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Down to verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We'll just turn over to Numbers chapter 21. And our Lord Jesus Christ was making reference to that serpent of brass. And Nicodemus would have been very familiar with this story. And perhaps the boys and girls are familiar with it as well. In verse 4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to encompass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore hast thou brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. When he looked upon the serpent of brass, he lived. We thought about those words that we've read in John chapter 3 and verse 7, ye must be born again. And perhaps you might ask, why is it that we need to be born again? Why is it that we need to be saved? Why must we be saved? Why must we be born again? If you were to turn over to Romans in chapter 3, we would read these words. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In verse 19 of chapter 3, we read these words, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world guilty before God. Bryce has already mentioned, if we take our minds back to the beginning of our Bible, right back to the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, he's already mentioned about how sin entered. By the disobedience of Adam, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The result of death, dear friend in the meeting, the result of sin, dear friend in the meeting, is death. Each one of us if the Lord be not come, will pass through death, pass through that article of death. And there's those that are young in the meeting, and perhaps life is stretching out before you. And just it seems that it will go on forever. But I'd just like to remind the boys and girls and those in the meeting not saved tonight that time is passing. Time is passing. If you were to close your eyes in death this evening, just like you to take a moment just to consider it, because these are weighty matters. These are serious matters. If you were to close your eyes in death this evening, when you opened them on the other side, where would you be? Bryce has already been indicating the horror. It's beyond our ability to describe what it would be for a precious soul to miss salvation and to wake up on the wrong side of a fixed gulf. But for those that are saved, to close their eyes in death and to arrive in heaven and to look upon the one who loved them and the one who died to save them. And so, dear friend in the meeting this evening, why do we need to be saved? Because there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And death, dear friend, will overtake each one of us. And we would long that you'd be ready. We would long that you'd be saved or this event takes place. And so Nicodemus had that conversation with our Lord Jesus Christ, and he made it very, very clear. Ye, very personal. The matter of salvation is very personal, dear friend, in the meeting this evening. We would long to make choices for you, but we can't. Choices are made in life. And some of those choices can be changed, and some of them cannot. But there's choices made in life. But dear friend, this choice here in relation to God's salvation, it's a personal choice. It's a choice that you must make. And we would long that you would make a wise choice this evening. And so Nicodemus, he's been told very clearly, ye must be born again. In verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ then goes on to speak to Nicodemus about the great provision that was made. And he takes him back to that event in the history of Israel, when the children of Israel were journeying through the wilderness. And we've read how the serpents, they came and bit the people. And we've already read how God told Moses to take that serpent of brass and to set it upon a pole, there for all to see. It was God's love, you know. Bryce has mentioned about God's love for us, and we've read about it as well, for God so loved the world. It was God's love in making that provision for the people. And all they had to do was look, believe what God had said, and to look. It's a wonder to us, as we think about that event, as we take our mind and maybe let our imaginations take us back to what that looked like, with that serpent of brass glinting in the sun, and those that were bitten by those poisonous snakes, you know, it wasn't very long before they knew there was something wrong. Something's not right. The poison would be coursing through their veins. There's something not right. And Nicodemus, he also realized, there's something not right. There's something that I don't have. There's something that I need. We would long tonight that you would realize there's something that I need. There's something that I don't have if you're not saved. And the children of Israel, those who were bitten, it says, when they looked, they lived. Did it work? Oh, it worked. It says, all that looked lived. What about God's salvation? Those who put their trust in our Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so Our Lord Jesus Christ is telling Moses about that great event in the history of Israel. But now it's not the serpent of brass that's lifted up. And as Moses lifted up that serpent of brass in the wilderness, it's our Savior was lifted up. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We think of God's love to us in ever giving his well-beloved Son. Down from the glory the Savior came. Down to the cross and the death of shame. And gazing in wonder, I there exclaim, Jesus died for me. He came, dear friend, in the meeting this evening out of love for you. And he suffered at Calvary's cross what tongue can never tell. He was nailed by hands and by feet. We think of the cruelty of men against God's Son. We think of what they did to him. We think of how we read how they lacerated his back. We think of how they spat in his face. We think of how they put that cruel crown upon his lovely brow. And we think of how they lifted him up upon Calvary's cross. Dear friend, it wasn't those steel spikes that held him there. He could have called 12 legions of angels to come. But dear friend, he remained silent for you. He remained silent for you. And he suffered on Calvary's cross out of love for you. And God laid upon his only Son. He laid upon his only Son the iniquity of us all. All our sins, the sins of the world, was laid upon the spotless Savior. And he bore it all. He bore it all on Calvary. And God was entirely satisfied with the death of his Son. We've been thinking already of the resurrection out from amongst the dead. And he's exalted at God's right hand this evening. Dear friend, the message is this. Just as the children of Israel looked on that serpent of brass, those that take their eyes away from self, realizing there's nothing good in me. I'm guilty. I'm amongst those that are guilty, and every mouth stopped. And realize that I'm a guilty sinner. But Jesus died for me. He took my place and died for me. Dear friend, can you not take it in that there's another has died in your stead? As we go down through the verses, we think of perhaps four occasions that it says in verse 15, believeth in him. Verse 16, believeth in him. 18, believeth in him. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son. Dear friend, it's faith. But it's faith in Christ. There's nothing that I can do. Nicodemus soon discovered that all his religion, it meant nothing. All his knowledge, it meant nothing. All his privileges, it meant nothing. Until he got to the point where he realized that Christ is all in all. And he trusted him and passed from death unto life. Dear friend, I wonder, have you ever got there? Has there ever been that moment where you trusted him? Are you amongst those in the first part of verse 36? He that believeth on the Son hath, is that present possession, hath everlasting life. Are you sure? Or are those in the latter half of the verse? He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What a dreadful thing it would be to have heard the glorious strains of the gospel and to miss it. Oh, dear friend, this evening we would just urge you to consider these all important matters. There's nothing else more important. We have to deal with important things in life, and there's important decisions in life to be made as well, but there's nothing more important than this decision. I'll say it again, there's nothing more important than knowing that all is well for eternity. We would just long, dear friend, that you'd go in for salvation. We'd be thinking about the matter of death. It's not a very nice thing to think about, but it's necessary because it will happen to us all. But I'd like to think as well there's another great event. And that is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one day he's going to come. And he's coming for those that are saved. And for us that are saved, it will be a joyful reunion with him. We'll look upon the one who died to save us. We'll see the pierced hands and pierced feet. The one who loved us. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But what it will be for someone to have heard the gospel and to wake up and realize that that great event has taken place and I've missed it. Dear friend, this evening there's salvation for you tonight. God loves boys and girls and men and women, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, is that you this evening, believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's God's desire that all men should be saved. All men, boys and girls, men and women, it's God's desire that you should be saved. He's done everything. He's provided salvation for you. We just long that you would have a look of faith and trust him this evening. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we draw nigh into thy presence. In the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank thee for another opportunity to open thy precious word and to read from it. We think of those golden words that we've been thinking upon this evening. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We would just long that there be someone here this evening within the hearing of our voice that is not saved. We just close in with thine offer of mercy and thy offer of salvation and trust our Lord Jesus Christ and pass from death unto life. We just ask thee, Lord, to bless the preaching of the gospel, bless the reading of thy word this evening, and bless each one tonight, for we ask it in the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. As we just sing, just in closing, a few verses of 130. Behold the Lamb of God who bore a vile world's sin. Look unto him and be thou saved. The promise takes thee in. More marred than any man's, the Saviour's visage see, was ever sorrow like to his, endured on Calvary. Perhaps we could sing verse 1, 2, and verse 6, and the chorus, please. 1, 2, and 6.
Behold the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, through him are justified.